This morning's scripture reading will be from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. For those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God.
What a blessing it is to be able to worship God in spirit and in truth. The blessing of being able to come together to encourage one another in the most holy faith. What a blessing it is for us to be able to sing to God. And friends, when we consider all five actions of worship that we are engaging in, all five of them are designed to humble us. They're not designed to entertain us. They're designed to humble us and to show the superiority of Jehovah. That God is reigning, that He is superior, that He is number one. And this is why we as conscious creation, those who have had their conscience cleansed from dead works by the blood of Jesus Christ to serve the living God, are serving and honoring and worshiping a God who created all things and has created all things well. For that, we ought to be eternally grateful and thankful for the God of heaven who sent forth Jesus Christ to be the satisfaction for our sins. And friends, that ought to make us smile, because we were once dead in sin. At one time, we were not a people. But as Peter said, now we are the people of God. What a blessing. This morning, we're going to be talking about part two of being in Christ. I had Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 8 read in your hearing, and we're going to refer to it here and there. A few times in that hearing, you saw the phrase, in Christ. Well, last week, we were privileged as we talked about the phrase, in Christ, how it was used some 76 times in the New Testament. I believe God was trying to teach the people of God something. Those apostles who were inspired by the Holy Spirit, moved, borne along to carry a message about this great man of God, the one that came forth from God and returned back to God. As we talk about this phraseology in Christ, we talked about that old system of religion, the Mosaic system, and how the Bible teaches us in Galatians 3 and verse number 24, how that system of Moses was designed to bring them to Christ. Here, the Apostle Paul there gives an illustration of a servant and how that servant was responsible for the master's son until that son got up to age. The same was for the Old Testament system, the law of Moses. It brought the people of God to Jesus Christ until the seed should come. The Bible teaches us in Galatians 3:19 that the law was added because of transgression, till the seed should come. And you notice there that the Bible teaches us that not the seeds as in many, but in seed as in one, and that seed is Christ. The Mosaic system was designed to bring men and women, the Jewish nation, to Christ. Once Christ came, that old system, the law of Moses, was not needed anymore. Why? Because now all men are to listen to Jesus. No wonder Jesus would say it this way in John 12 and verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Didn't we just sing that? What a blessing to be in Christ. What a blessing that we are to listen to Jesus Christ. Many today are still trying to listen to Moses. Many today are still trying to keep the Sabbath, if you will. They're still trying to keep the feast days, if you will. But those things, according to Colossians 2, verses 12 through 14, were nailed to the cross. And when Jesus nailed that old law to the cross, now all men need to listen to the beloved Savior. When we consider getting in Christ, turn your Bibles to Galatians 3 real quick. And as we look at verses 26 through 29, there you'll find these words as it relates to the Apostle Paul talking to the Roman brethren. I'm sorry, the Galatian brethren. And notice what he says to them as it relates to getting in Christ. For you are all the sons of God by faith. One version says through faith. Remember on last week as we was talking about that old system and how it was that system being nailed to the cross, but now men are being justified by the faith. Now notice what he says in verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, clothe yourselves, put on Christ. Notice how the Apostle Paul tells the Galatian brethren that it was about the faith and it was about being clothed with Christ. Verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. Why? You're all one in Christ Jesus. The idea of Jesus Christ being the source, the idea of the faith being the avenue, the idea of the location of salvation being in Christ. You think of all of those things and he says there is oneness in Christ. There is unity in Christ. And friends, the very fact that we are Christians, we ought to take clear note of that. That we are one in Christ. And this is why we have to have the mind of Christ. And this is why we have to all go according to the doctrine, the teaching of Jesus Christ. But what teaching is that? Few passages I want to give you. Just put in your notes. Don't have time to really delve into those. Number one, the one that we just read, or Brother Scott just read, Romans 8, 1 and 2. Notice, there is no condemnation. Notice the locale in Christ. No condemnation. You know that the Old Testament law condemned men? But the New Testament law of Christ doesn't condemn men. Why? It is designed to liberate men. It is designed to free men. James 1, verse 21 through 25. It is called the perfect law of liberty. But also Galatians 6 and verse 2. Just put that in your notes. Here we find the law of Christ as it is being correlated to a Christian helping another Christian out of their transgression. Notice, brethren, if any of you be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual. Well, who are spiritual? Those who walk according to the Spirit's teaching. Those who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Bearing one another's burdens, so fulfilling, notice, the law of Christ. Friends, the law of Christ, the law of liberty, are very important. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ are very important if we're going to remember and keep in mind that we ourselves are in Christ. We're not in no one else. We're not in ourselves. We're not in another man. We are in Christ. Therefore, the covenant of Christ is vitally important. When we consider some things, notice this particular law. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, we notice some things in verses 16 through verse number 18. Notice what your Bible there has to say. We're going to take our time. We're going to look at these passages. And then we're going to give some application here in a few minutes. But friends, being in Christ have great benefits. The law of Jesus Christ has great benefits. It frees us. It frees us from sin. It frees us from bondage. It frees us from the slave of sin. of the devil or being the slave of the devil. In Romans chapter 6, starting at verse number 16, do you not know that to whom you have presented yourself slave to obey, you are the one slave whom do you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked. Listen to this verse. Though you were slaves of sin, yet you have obeyed from the heart that what? That form of teaching, that form of doctrine. How does one get in Christ? That form of doctrine. How does one become a slave of righteousness? Nothing wrong with slavery as long as you're slave to the right person. Slave of Jesus Christ. A lot of times people are slave to many addictions in this life. Sometimes as Christians, we're slaves to many things in this life. But we need to be slaves of Jesus Christ, slaves of righteousness. Notice what he goes on to say. In verse number 17, the latter part, you have obeyed that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, here it is, you became slaves of righteousness. Question, as a Christian, being in Christ, who's your master? Who's our master? Our master is Jesus Christ. He is the one that made us alive in him. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. It is because of Jesus Christ we have freedom now. Freedom to sin? Of course not. Freedom to live righteous lives. To be identified, number one, Romans 1 and verse 16 and 17, with the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. You know, I remember a few months back, Brother Corey Hall and his family was here, and we was downtown. And we went to this art place, and God said, have you heard about this, this ice cream place downtown called, what's the new scoop or something? Something like that. Anyway, it was some scoop ice cream. We're like, man, that's good news. Let's go. We walked to that place. You know what? It was good. Hold on. If hearing about ice cream is good, shouldn't be hearing about salvation be better? Especially in Christ. If hearing about people coming out of sickness is good, how about hearing about Jesus being raised from the dead? Isn't that better? That's good news. You know what the good news is, friends? We have to be reminded, just as the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians 15 were reminded about the gospel of Jesus Christ, so shall we. We must be reminded of the gospel. We must be reminded of this good news. We must be reminded that we are in Christ. And we got so many things going on around us that cloud our mind, that causes confusion. And if we're not careful, we'll forget that we're in Christ. We need to think like Christ. We need to be like Christ. Paul said, follow me even as I follow Christ. Well, let's talk about some benefits. In Romans chapter 3, as we begin our study, we're just now beginning. All that was just warm up so I can get my blood going. I've been sitting there singing. Now I needed to get warmed up. Now that we got warmed up, let's get going. In Romans chapter 3, starting at verse number 21, let's start talking about some of the benefits that we have in Christ Jesus. Verse number 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The gospel is now revealed, but hold on. Paul's argument here is to the Roman brethren that this gospel is not attached to the law of Moses. It's being revealed today. And notice what he says in verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We love quoting that passage. The majority of the Christian, the religious world rather, they love quoting that passage. Well, we all have sinned, as if it is justification that we all mess up. No, that's not Paul's point. Paul's point is Jews have sinned, Gentiles have sinned, God has classified all men under sin. He had to in order for verse 24 to make sense. Look at verse 24. Being justified, meaning that one is declared right. You know how easy it is for a person to declare themselves right? Job tried to do that. And we see that Elihu He rebukes Job in the book of Job, chapter 31, I believe it is. He rebukes Job because he tried to justify himself instead of justifying God. But here we see being justified freely. How, Paul? By his grace. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation. Now that's just a big word for this. Jesus Christ is our satisfaction to God. God was satisfied when he saw the travail of his soul, Isaiah 53. God was satisfied when he saw his obedience. God made Jesus the mercy seat. You know what the mercy seat was in Exodus chapter 25? It was God meeting Moses, and then Moses being the middleman, if you will, the mediator, and he's going to the children of Israel. Jesus being our mediator, he's been our intercessor, he's been our go-between. Hold on, if I get in Christ, I'm in the one that is going between me and God. In Christ, there's great benefits. You know, what a powerful reason for a person to give their life to Jesus Christ, right? What an excellent reason for a person to say, I no longer want to govern my own life. I no longer want to call the shots in my own life. I want the Word of God. I want Jesus Christ. I want to be a servant of my Master. Notice what he goes on to say. By his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness. Why? Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, in order that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Hold on. There were individuals that were putting their faith in Moses instead of putting their faith in Jesus. But hold on, Moses' law was to lead them to Jesus. And friends, we need to keep that in mind. That our faith is in our God. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. Our faith is in the love of God. Turn your Bibles to Romans 8 as we continue our trek. In Romans 8, starting at verse number 28. Oh, we love verse 28. Nothing wrong with that. In verse 28, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those, here is the point right here, the called. You see that language there? The called. Those who are the called according to his purpose. Well, how is one called, Dennis? 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 13 and 14, whereunto you are called by thy gospel. We're called by the gospel. The called are the ones that are heeding the gospel message. Notice verse number 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. What is he teaching us? What is he teaching the brethren there at Rome? That there is no glorification without justification. There is no justification without a calling. And there is no calling without God coming up with a plan for us. You're part of this plan. You know why I know you're part of this plan? Because you obeyed the gospel. You obeyed that good news, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ. And friends, this is why the church is so important. This is why we, as the called out ones, those of us who have been baptized into Christ, those of us who are walking according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, those of us who understand that we have a hope of salvation, this is why we have to keep this in mind. We're going to one day be glorified, and it's not today. It's not today. You know what that does? It causes us to keep looking to the heavens from whence cometh our help. Our help coming from the Lord. Look at verse 31. I'll be honest with you, this passage here kept me in the faith. I remember when a preacher was preaching and he quoted this passage. And from the first time I heard this passage, that first few months of my Christianity, it's been my favorite passage. What shall we say to these things? What things? The things he just finished talking about. If God be for us, who can be against us? You know what? We can swap that question. We can turn that question around like this. If I'm against God, who can be for me? That's a good question. If God be for us, who can be against us? Notice the benefits we have in Christ. Let me show you some of them. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If I'm in Christ, God is going to bless me. He's going to bless me with the salvation and the things that are associated with salvation if I just stay with him. Look at verse number 33. Who shall bring a charge? Y'all listen to this. Against God's elect. It is God who justifies. It is God who declares one right. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, also is risen. Who is even at the right hand of God who also makes intercession for us? Hebrews 7 and verse number 25, Jesus lives to make intercession for us. The very fact that he has been raised from the dead, he says, I look forward to going to God on your behalf. That's amazing. That's amazing, friends. Notice what he goes on to say. Verse 35, who shall separate us? Notice this benefit from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation, meaning trouble and struggles, and we all have them. Job 14:1, man born of a woman, few days and full of trouble. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and following, Paul says, as we as apostles, we are catching it on every side. Notice what he says. Distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, as it is written, he quotes from Psalm 44 here, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. Don't you love that verse? Literally in the Greek, we are hyper conquerors. We're not just conquerors, we conquer highly. Why? Because of the one in whom we live in. Notice what he says. Friends, and all of this is associated with the love of Christ. All of this is associated with that. Notice verse number 37, the latter part. Through him who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death, listen, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is where? Yes. Yes, friends. And the question is this. Do I believe that? We got so many things trying to separate us from God. And sometimes they succeed. We'll stop being, here's some application. We'll stop being consistent in our prayer life. We'll stop being consistent in our Bible study. We'll stop being consistent in our exhortation of the brethren. We'll stop being consistent in our encouragement of the home. Because there's something that came into my life that has separated me from the love of Christ. I don't see here that he's talking about apostasy. It seems as if there's a drifting away taking place. One just doesn't run away from God. There's things that come into our lives that slowly take us away. I got Bible for that. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 and following. How shall we escape if we, here's the word, it's operative right here, neglect. If you don't want your teeth, you don't have to take a bat to your mouth. Stop brushing them. Think about it. If you don't want your spouse no more, you don't have to cuss them out. Just neglect them. If you want your car to break down, you don't have to run it into a wall. Stop changing the oil and transmission fluid. It will break down for you automatically. It's the same for spirituality. We have to be diligent, as Apostle Peter said, making our calling and election sure. We have to be consistent. Why? Because we're in Christ. There are benefits to being in Christ, and the love of God is in Christ Jesus. Well, how do I stay in the love of God? We answered that on last Sunday night in our Q&A. Just put this in your notes, John 15, verses 7 through 11. To stay in the love of God means to abide in His Word. And Jesus said, I abided in my Father's love. And you abide in my love. And then He tells His disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. You get it? The love of God is His commandments, is His Word. To be in Christ is to stay in the love of God. Question, how often are you staying in the Word of God? Romans 16, turn there. In Romans 16, we see the Apostle Paul brings up some individuals that we don't hear a lot about, but they were helpers in Christ. Friends, there is always something to do in Christ. There is always someone to visit in Christ. There is always someone to cheer up, someone always to rebuke, someone always to reprove. There is always something to do in Christ. In Romans 16, in verse number 3, Paul says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers. Where, Paul? In Christ. Drop down to verse number 9. Greet Eubanus. Who's Eubanus? That's not someone we do a character study on. But apparently, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, brought this individual up for us to read. Our fellow worker, where? In Christ. Notice verse 10. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Wow. You know, you don't have to be well known to be in Christ. Everybody in the brotherhood doesn't have to know your name for you to be someone in Christ. This is the only thing that matters. You ready? Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what matters. You being in Christ is so important. There are great benefits to being in Christ. And the very fact that we are in Christ, we are a family. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, if I'm not mistaken. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, and from there we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 2, I noticed something that's very important for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, yes, there it is. Start at verse number 4. Now, notice what Peter says here that's worthy of us to be considering. He says, coming to him as living stones. Remember, we're not dead stones. We're living sacrifices. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Isn't it interesting that a sacrifice in the Old Testament, under the Levitical system, it had to die in order for someone to live? Jesus had to die for us to live, and we have to live and for us to continue to live. We're living sacrifices. Notice, rejected indeed by men, chosen by God. Precious. Did you hear that? When was the last time you told a brother in Christ, sister in Christ, a family member in Christ, you're precious? I wish we had about 10 minutes just to ponder that for a second. Sometimes I wish we were in the first century where we would stop the preacher and talk about that point you just made. We're so sophisticated. That's a good point. You're precious. You know how precious you are? You're precious because you're in Christ. You're precious because you're covered by the blood of Christ. You're precious because you're on your way to heaven. You're precious. Notice what he goes on to say. You also, as living stones, are being built up a what? Spiritual house. Not a carnal house, not a physical house. But you're a spiritual house, holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Timothy 3. Let's see what this house is. This is more for our visitors. Maybe you don't know what a house is. God tells us everything in the Bible, what He wants us to know. I don't have to go to a commentary. I can go to the Bible. If I want to find it out, I go to God. I don't have to go to man. Let's go to God. Let's see what God has to say about this. 1 Timothy 3, verse number 15. Notice what your Bible says. But if I tarry long, Paul says, if I'm delayed in my coming, notice what he says. I write so that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the what? The house of God. And notice what he says the house is. It's the church. Hold on. In 1 Peter 2, he says, you are a spiritual house. You're a spiritual church. Not a carnal church, not a worldly church. And this is why, as the people of God, we got to keep worldliness out. And this is why, when a person is baptized into Christ, hear this point, friends, sanctification then begins. How? Through the Word of God and the activation, or the application, rather, of it. That's why Jesus would say it like this in John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The more that I get into his word, the more sanctified I am. Meaning, set apart from the world. One is not sanctified right at baptism. One is sanctified when he's baptized and he continues in it. That's an interesting point. You gotta stay with it. You are a spiritual house. Paul says here that you are the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Turn to Hebrews 3 as you ponder this point. In Hebrews 3, who's over this house? Well, the Bible is so beautiful. The Bible is so beautiful. You're in Christ. You're in the house. It's interesting, you know, when we want to go to a game or maybe to some type of party or something, wholesome party, keep it like that, and there's no room in the inn, there's no room in the party. Man, I wish I'd have gotten my ticket. Well, there's no seats left. Man, I knew I should have bought my ticket last week. So we use this type of terminology. I can't even get in the house. There's always room in God's house. Look at Hebrews 3, starting in verse number 1. Therefore, holy brethren, notice what he calls them. You know what you are? If you're walking according to the Spirit's teaching, you're holy. You're set apart. And when you consider the word holy, it's non-carnal, not worldly. Partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him, who appointed him, as Moses was also faithful in all his house. For this one who has been counted worthy more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who builds all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. Here it is. But Christ. One thing the Hebrews writer does a great job of. No, he's inspired by the Spirit, but he does a wonderful job of esteeming Jesus Christ above the angels, above Moses. If you're going to listen to anyone, if you're going to be in anybody's house, you ought to be in Christ's house. Here it is. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Well, hold on. Who's the house? Paul said it's the church. Paul, what's going on, Paul? Hebrews writer, what's going on here? Christ is over his own house. Paul would say it like this in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. God put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The house. We're that house. And the only way you can get into this house, you got to get in Christ. The only way you can stay in the house, you got to stay in Christ. I heard one brother say one time, he was being a real smart dentist. He said, give me the man, not the plan. I said, you can't have it. Because the man and the plan come together. The man and the house come together. You can't go to 1909 J Street and take over my house unless you take over me first. Ain't nobody going to take Christ out of his house. Isn't nobody going to remove Christ from the throne of his house? So shouldn't we get in his house and stay in house? Let me get last point and let you go. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast. There it is. The confidence and the rejoicing of the hope. How long, Hebrews writer? Firm to the end. What are we saying? We said all of this to say this. Are you staying firm in the house? Are you staying firm in Christ? All spiritual blessings are in Christ. The grace of God, 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 10, is in Christ. Salvation, 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 10, in Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 1, in Christ. The simplicity of the gospel is in Christ. Everything you need is right here in Christ. Question, what are we looking for outside of Christ? When we have it all in Christ. That's challenging. But I'm thankful to be looking at some faithful people of God who are striving to do that which is right. And friends, we just want to stay in Christ. He's the head. He's the Lord. Let me make this last point. Yesterday, Brother B.J. Clark, yesterday, he was preaching in Austin, and he made an excellent point about John 13 and how Peter didn't want to allow Jesus to wash his feet. He tells Jesus, "Not so, Lord, you're not washing my feet." Now, notice the language here. "Not so, Lord." Hold on, Lord, meaning ruler. Lord, I tell you what to do. Lord, you're not washing my feet. Jesus answers, if I be your Lord, why aren't you listening to me? Jesus is our Lord. We're in Christ. Let's keep listening to him. Let's go to his word. For everything that we do. Friends, don't make any decisions outside of Christ. At least go to the Word of God and see if you can find something that can navigate your life before you make a decision. Filter all of your thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through verse number 6. Yes. Filter all of your thoughts through the Word of God. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Why? I'm in Christ. You're special. You're precious. That's what we are. And the reason why we're precious, Brother Chris, is because we've been bought. We're not cheap. We've been bought with the blood of Christ. Not with flesh and blood, not with stones, not with money, but by the blood of Christ. That's what we've been bought with. We live in a time today where people sell themselves off so cheaply. We're holy. We're not cheap. We're in Christ. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be in Christ. And this is how you become a Christian. We've already talked about it. For you're the sons of God by faith. For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It's that gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ, Romans 15, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. It's that good news, friends, and it's still good news some 2,000 years later, and there are people still being baptized and obeying the gospel even to this day. Why? Because they see this is good news. Sometimes, as Christians, being in Christ, we hear good news and say, well, it's not too good to me. No, it's good news because it still saves us. You're not a child of God, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, turn away from sin. Leave sin alone. Come to Christ. Confess him to be Lord and be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God will save you from your sins. That's what salvation is. It's in Christ. It's in the blood. It's in the church. That's where it is. And just as God saved the eight on the ark by way of water, God's going to save us by way of the Christ going down in the water, coming up. to walk in the newness of life. Maybe a child of God and you're in Christ, but you haven't been focused on Jesus. Your prayer life is waning. Study life is waning. Your idea of being kind and gentle and stern, all those things are waning. Let's get it back together. Let's stay focused. Firm to the end. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.